Welcome back. Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your plan and your divine will. We yield ourselves to you and everything you plan on doing. We open ourselves up this year. Thank you for this year. I thank you for anointing us this year to be able to hear special things from you and to know everything you plan for us to understand. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you. Without you, we are nothing. And so we can't even move or even receive revelation without you first giving us ears to hear it and a heart to receive it and in even revealing it to us. So we thank you for who you are. We acknowledge you as a true present force in this class. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 16. Before I really get into what we're going to jump into tonight, I always say this, and I know y'all are second year, so y'all went from being freshmen to seniors in 1 year. Sound like a pretty good deal to me, so it's a nice little jump. But I always want to stress, although we were together last year, we spent a lot of time, I always want to stress why we're here. My class is just an auxiliary class. My class is just a side class to really kind of promote the main class. Apostle class is the one. It's just the one where you're going to get all your meat, all your foundation from. I remember, and I say this again, one of the main reasons he started this school, he said the Lord told him to start the school simply so that people can see the Spirit of God come upon him and see how he functions in the Holy Ghost and functions in the flow of the Spirit. So I always say that in my class just to remember. You know, we may touch on some good things in this class, and I believe God's going to speak to us, but I remember the point. Amen. You're going to learn a lot about government, a lot more about government this year. I thank God for apostolic government. I thank God for apostle. I thank God for a foundation, because what it's doing is lining everything back up to where we can actually function like we should. So it's a good segue, and I didn't plan it that way, but a good segue. The name of our book is Church Unusual, right? This class, Church Unusual, right? I'll make sure I'm in the right class, right? Church Unusual. Well, it almost seems like you shouldn't have the name of book Church Unusual. But because of the fallback of the church and the way as a whole, or may not be your church or my church in particular, but the fallback of the church as a whole, somebody has to write a book called Church Unusual. Church, the way God planned it and the way he said to be and the way Jesus said to be, was already unusual by itself. There's nothing normal about church. But because of society, I mean, how long you been in the church? How many years you been in the church? All these things that we pick up what church is about. You know, we come here, we think it's to congregate with each other. And praise the Lord for congregating and being with each other. We think it's, you know, for the different rituals that we do, the different things. We think it's just for communion. We think it's for this and for that. It's a much deeper thing than you understand. It's a much deeper purpose than a lot of times. We take in, even going to good churches, sometimes we don't take in the full purpose of what it really means to be the church. Remember this, you are the church. All right, now I'm saying these things because a church, the word church has a stigma with it. It just does. You go talk to your unsaved friends about church, and what's the first thing they start thinking? You can number a list of things, they start feeling a certain kind of way. They start thinking, well, how do people are at church? Sometimes they feel judged. Because that's the number one thing we do in church, amen? Sometimes they feel like I ain't good enough. You hear people say, well, I ain't ready yet. Well, you don't get ready to go to church. You get it? Yeah. You don't get good enough. You know, to be honest, ain't none of us good enough. Amen. To be honest, it's only because of the blood of Jesus and who God is in us that we're good enough to be anything. All right. So you don't, but it's the stigma. The church has a stigma. It has a stigma. So we have to say church unusual, because church should already be unusual. But because it slid back through man's ways, through man's interpretation, through what man has tried to put together, what man has wanted to do, it slid back to a way that has become unfruitful. And so church has become normal now. It's a normal thing. It's a normal ritual. We get dressed up, put it down, go to church. And you go back home the same way you left, on most instances. There's churches everywhere. I'll never forget going to, I traveled with Apostle, and we were in Birch Run, Michigan, so we had to drive, maybe about 4 or 5 miles, and the way it was, we were staying in Saginaw, we had to drive to Birch Run, maybe about 15, 20 minutes away. I'll never forget this, and it tripped me out, and I see this all over the place, that we had to make a right turn, and we had to make a left on this long street that was going to take us all the way to Birch Run, about 5 or 6 miles, maybe a little longer. I saw so many churches. I could count about 20, 30 churches, no exaggeration, on that 1 6-mile track. I mean, just church. Church of this, church of that, church of that, church of that, church of that. Church, he had one church, and another church was in his backyard. We went to church one time. Well, I'm trying to tell you what this. I went to church in I won't say the state, but we went to church one, and there was a church, and Apostle had to preach at both churches. Listen to this. And there was a church, and then you can walk out the back door of the first church and be in the other church.
Wow.
Well, I don't believe God called that. I'm just going to be honest. There's a lot of churches that started that shouldn't be started. There's a lot of churches that are made that shouldn't be made. And so now, because of all that, the water is so polluted and there's so much going on, that now church has become usual. And it becomes the norm. And it's become the normal thing when in actuality, we're supposed to be moving in this world to change things. The scripture says, and we'll read it in a minute, but the gates of hell should not prevail against the
church.
You see that? That's supposed to happen. It's supposed to be a dominant. So let's read this real quick. Matthew chapter 16. We'll start off with verse 13. And please, I know you. Some of you are Bible scholars, you know, and we know some of these scriptures. We know some of these things. But always approach it with a new mindset, a fresh understanding. Because when you do that, you'll be able to receive something new. I know you got a revelation, but just go ahead and leave it for a second, so we can get something new. Amen. Verse 13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." He said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona," listen, "for flesh and blood has not what? Revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So right now, right here, he's asking the disciples, who do they say that I am? Who do men say that I am? They started yelling all the answers. Simon Peter was a bold man. Peter, if you do a little study about Peter, Peter was a little reckless at times, but he's also bold. Peter's got a lot of revelation. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Well, flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father, which is in heaven." Everybody say revelation.
Revelation.
Come on, say it again. Say revelation.
Revelation.
Come on, say it again. Say revelation.
Revelation.
One of the prerequisites of being effective church is revelation knowledge. If you are not receiving a revelation, or you don't have a revelation, you cannot be effectively the church. Now, I'm saying it like this for a reason. You cannot be the church. I'm saying it for a reason. You cannot be the church. Now, I didn't say you can be a part of the church. I said you cannot be the church. I want to stress to you that you are. The church is not a building. Thank God for the building. Thank God for the building. But you know, a building is really nothing without people in it. You leave your house right now and don't ever go back to your house for the next 20, 30 years, and your house will break down, it will dilapidate, it will start to rot, and it will start to lose its life because life is not in it. Yeah, are y'all with me? So get over the church as being the building. I understand Word Life Christian. Thank God. You know, I understand the different church buildings, but understand that we are. Say, I am the church.
I am the church.
Come on, say it again. I am the church.
I am.
Come on, say it again. Say, I am the church.
I
We're going to read in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Matter of fact, you can flip over there right now. Make it your favorite chapter this semester, because you almost know it from top to bottom, left to right, in and out. You know the whole chapter, Ephesians chapter 4. It's really strict about government, but it's strict about what the church is and our parts that we play. But just say it again. Say, I am the church.
I am.
Now, I keep saying, I'm going to say stuff over and over again because I got to break your stigma. I remember teaching this class last year. I have to break the stigma of what you think church is. Right when you leave out of here tonight, it's not going to be over. You're going to still have residues of what you think church is. Even in a lot of situations where we're in an apostolic environment, sometimes we still don't understand what church is, so therefore we don't get the most out of the ministry. We don't get the, the Bible says what measure you meet is what? Measured unto you. That means what however much you're open to something, or however much faith you put towards something, determines how much you can receive from it. Amen. Listen to me. So in my understanding, to really get this apostolic government down in my heart and really realize what I'm supposed to be doing as the church, say, because I am the church, say it. I am the church. Say it again. I am the church.
I am the church.
Because of that, I have to break some old thinking down. I have to break some, yes, we're going to sing when we come here, but it ain't about the singing. All right. Yes, on second Sunday, we're like Chris Center. We take communion. Praise the Lord for communion. Thank God for that. But it's not just about communion. Yes, thank God that you see your friends. Praise the Lord for your friends. I'm glad you can see them. That's a good thing. It's good. But it's not about you coming and see your friends. I like your clothes. I love them. They nice. But ain't about your clothes. Are y'all with me? See, there's a lot of stigma come along with church. There's a lot of, and there's nothing wrong with those things, but if you begin to focus on those things and not on the thing, then you miss the point. Now, don't forget this, and I said it before, and y'all have heard me say it before, but what you focus on does what? Expand. So if you focus on something else other than the main purpose of what who we are as a church and who God is in us as a church, if we miss that point, then those things begin to expand and we'll miss the point. The truth of the matter is, if I really talk about it, the truth of the matter is, we ain't getting enough done. Can I get an amen or something? Truth of the matter is, we're not making as much of a difference out in the world as we should. Can we agree on that? I thank God for the things that are happening, but it should be more. Everybody say it should be more. Come on, say it again. It should be more. There should be more happening. There should be more people beating down the doors to get in the building. There should be more people receiving miracles and supernatural miracles in their life, and things are changing. It should be more of that going on. See, the reason it doesn't go on is because we have a wrong mindset towards what it is and who we are. Right. See, it's identity crisis. If you don't know who you are, then you can't tell me who you are. How am I supposed to know who God is if you can't tell me who God is in you? How am I supposed to know what the supernatural is about, or that life could be different, if you can't filter that same message from the inside of you to me? How am I supposed to know? The Great Commission, go you know all the world, right? And preach the gospel. I mean, that's why we're allowed to hear in ministry school. The Great Commission, seek and save that which is lost. Well, I praise the Lord for all that. But you can't help a lost person if you lost. You can't leave somebody somewhere you don't know where you're going. Break it down. Everybody say break it down. Come on. Use your hand. Break it down. Come on. Use your hand. Break it down. I don't want you to take your mindset. Come on. Like grab it. Grab it real quick. I'm doing it for a reason. Come on. Just grab your mind. Like if you just put it out, hold it in front of you, just break it down. Like, again, I'm doing it for a reason. Like, because it's, and I know we can be more advanced. Like, I know we can be more advanced, but our comparison is never another person. Our comparison is always Christ. Our measure, scripture talk about Ephesians 4, but until we measure to the stature, the fullness of Christ, until we get there, we ain't really done nothing. And so I know that we can be, and praise the Lord for the leap that we make in the spirit. I'm not knocking that at all, but there's always more. Say it. There's always more. And so even when you think you got a revelation, there's always more. Even when you think God has endowed you with some power, there's always more. Even when you think you've gone deep, there's always something deeper. And so our mindset has to be broken down so that we never think. Paul said, not as though I've already attained. Now, right before Paul started talking about that, Paul started saying, he started running his resume and started saying who he was. You quote the scripture, I can quote more than you. Right? You know the law, I know the law better than you. You been to church, I've been to more churches than you. But not like I'm somebody, because I'm not. Not like, not everything I've learned, I counted as dumb. Wow. You understand what that man was saying? And remember who Apostle Paul is. You remember all these things that we read that he's written in the Bible, right? God used him to write them. He said, but I count everything I've learned as dumb, so that I can attain more, that I can press forward. So is it to assume that if I think I know something already and I hold on to what I think I know already, that I may not get more? Is a possibility that it never opens up wider because I already think I'm open? How long you been in church? Come on, yell it out. Yell it out, come on. How many years?
28 years.
How many just been in church? Just in, not so much at your church right now. It's how long you been saved? Come on, I'm waiting. Come here, y'all. Come on. Yell it out, please.
28 years.
Every day for me. All my, I don't remember nothing, all right? All that, all right. I'm talking. All right, we've been. All right. It's not like we're rookies. I mean, we're at ministry school. This is not new members class. All right. This is not the foundational class, right? Like this y'all second year students.
Yes,
sir. Right? Y'all gonna be graduates this year. All right, but not. We have to keep your whole life. Let me side journey. Your whole life, you breaking down.
Wow.
Let me warn you before you graduate the school and think you somebody. And I'm gonna just tell you the truth. You know, you can let no man think more highly than he ought to. It doesn't mean you don't think high, but don't think more highly than you. Because there's a line that you shouldn't cross. Y'all get me?
Yes,
so it's a hairy line. It doesn't mean you don't have there's different types of pride. Because you can be proud, you can hold a pride. There's nothing wrong with having a pride in what you stand for, right? But then you slide over to the other pride where you're too high.
Yeah.
And that one come right for. And so I warned you early. You know, you can get to thinking that you got something under your belt. Ain't nothing under your belt. I act like I ain't got nothing under my belt. I already know, listen. I know I've been preaching for however many years, and I know I've been a graduate of EIWTC training. It wasn't even EIWTC at the time when I graduated. It was Ever-Creasing Word Ministry School, right? I know all these different things. I know doctrine and all. I don't care about none of that. I appreciate it all, but at the end of the day, I'm just me. I'm raggedy old me. Amen. And I'm always trying to see more. I'm always trying to find out what he's saying that he hasn't said to me already. There's something he ain't said to you. You don't know it all. So that mindset, I'm touching on that mindset for a reason, because we have to break that in order to receive. We have to break that open in order to receive more about who we are. So your identity is going to be solidified as the church. And then you're going to, there's a marvelous revelation, and I really can't go into it tonight for the sake of foundational and preparation, but we got the whole semester. But it's a marvelous revelation that the apostle came up with about the keys. No more breakthrough keys. No more trying to break through and do it. It's key. You know, if you read the scripture, it said the gates of hell should not prevail against the church. That means, you know, gates don't move. You know, for years I always thought that it was like, you know, the gates ain't going, but my mind was wrong. The reason I thought it was the gates go. No, but gates don't move. So that means we moving. That means we on the offense. And so wherever we're moving, the gates can't prevail. Only if we got
the keys.
You get it? For the longest I thought the gates of hell was the gates of hell. Why would we want to unlock the gates to hell and walk in there? That ain't what he's talking about. Anything that comes up in your life, anything that tried to stop what God has called you to do, anything that tried to hinder you, whether in your finances, in your health, in your relationship, whatever it is, anything that tries to hinder you is a gate from hell that's been thrown up to try to stop you from going where God has called you to go. A lot of the gates in your mind. All right. Listen to me. So I'm riding today, and when I had to go ride to Hammond, and me and Charles riding together, and the radio's on. We're just flipping radio station, and they start talking about one thing on the radio, and talking about, you know, you got to turn them late at night. Y'all need to turn them TVs off. I'll put a time on your TV if you go to sleep with your TV on, or something, because they be talking about every disease under the sun on TV at night, and they tell you all kind of pills you got to get, huh? Come on, y'all be in there. Oh, they talking about all kind of stuff, but then you're dreaming about stuff. Then you wake up feeling some kind of way. So they're talking, they're talking. And so we got out of the car, and they were talking about one sickness. But, I ain't hearing that. We get in the car, they talking about the same thing. Now, we left out the car for about 30 to 45 minutes, and there's a time, and as soon as we got back in the car, they talking about the same thing. I say, look, turn it off. I say, see, I get it. I understand what's going on. Turn it off, shut it down, because they'll put all kind of stuff on your mind, and it'll be a gate. Listen to me. That's why the Bible talks about renew your mind, right? And why the Bible talks about meditating the word day and night. See, I'm going to push that issue this year. We're going to push the issue. I know you read your Bible, but how much studying you doing? I'm going to push the issue, because it should be the most important thing. What you know more than you know the word. I'm going to push the issue. We're going to go to another place, all right? I'm going to push the issue because when these gates be trying to be thrown up, but we got the key in Jesus. But if these gates are trying to throw them, these gates are thrown up in your mind. And my mother told me one time, she said, people, she said it just like this. She said, people work their behind off to get riches and then kick it away with their mind. They work their behind off to get ahead in life. And then when God's trying to send some increase to them, they kick it away with their mind. As he thinketh, so is he. So there's a blockage. The gates. If you don't know who you are, if you don't know who's in you, if you don't know what you've been enabled and empowered to do, as the church, say, I am the church. Come on, say it again. Say, I am the church. Come on, say it again. I am the church. Listen, I want you to say, I am the church. Come on, say it again. I am the church. Say it again. I am the church. There's a revelation in I am the church, too. All right, so we'll catch on that later. All right, but you have to understand who you are. Get out the building. All right. I'm saying it over and over again because I know you're thinking, get out the building. I got to do it. Get out the building because I'm going to church tonight. We got to meet y'all at the church. Right? What I'm saying? We got church Sunday morning. And I understand, like I'm not knocking none of that, but you got to understand what's going on. It'll make you understand what's going on when you're sitting in that pew. It'll make you understand what's going on when the word of God is coming forth from your man of God. It makes you understand your positioning and how all this is supposed to flow. What's going on? Ephesians 4. And it's just going to be the chapter. It just shows us, and I do a little reading for the sake of time and just for the sake of reading. It's always good to read the word. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the law, beseech you that you walk worthy of what? The vocation wherewith what? You're called. So you're called. So walk worthy of the vocation that you call. I walk worthy of the vocation that you are called. All right? You got to know that you're called first. Yes, sir. All right? Yes, now, don't get all caught up about what fivefold ministry gives you in. The Bible says you all able ministers. So God don't call you to be no apostle, no pastor, no evangelist, no pastor, teacher. You still got ministry to do. Listen to me. It is our literal responsibility to not only receive, because we started off receiving. This is how all it started, right? For God so loved that he gave. Our job was to accept. So start off that, but it's our responsibility to be like God, to be like him. So to do what he's doing, we made in his image. So now if he gave, it's our responsibility to give. Yeah. It is always our responsibility, no matter what capacity that you're on, to pass this out. That's what minister is. The word minister comes from the word administration. That means to pass it out. I look at the word minister, it literally means to hand out. Then we spiritualize it in Church. Everybody say church. We specialized in church, and so we thought that a minister was the clergy. But, you know, there's a prime minister. It has nothing to do with the church. You know, like prime ministers in countries? Yeah, there's the Ministry of Defense. Right, there's different types of ministry. I'll break it. Everybody say break it down. Break. Come on, say it again. Break it down. Break. If I can get us to break down this religious mindset, then maybe we can make some moves forward. I'm doing it for a reason. We use, I'll give you another one. You ready? Disciple. Everybody say disciples. Disciple. Now, that's a spiritual word to you right now. You just said it because you think about the 12 disciples, right? And you think it's spiritual. But disciple is nothing but a disciplined person. They're disciples of all kind of things. They're disciplined in that thing. It's not a church word, Doug. It's not a deep. I'm a disciple. No. That just means you're disciplined. You don't really know you're a disciple till you can take some good disciplining. How much correction can you take? How many whoopings can you receive? How quick can you bounce back from the discipline? I'll show you a disciple. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. Well, let him discipline you for a second. Let him put that whooping on you right quick. Right, you know you discipline somebody. Y'all know a disciplinarian. That word gets stronger. They got disciplinarian at the schools, right? You know disciplinarian come, it's time to catch that whooping, right? They don't do it no more, but it's time to catch that whooping. Discipline, disciple. See, we break those stuff down. Are you disciplined? So ministry, I mean, what kind of school? You're in ministry school. So this school, you're supposed to be learning how to pass out. You're supposed to be learning how to receive and to give. How to receive something from the Father and pass it out to others. That's what you're learning. What word of vocation will be with you called? With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in. I can hear you in. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond and peace. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are. You're not reading? I'll start again. Verse 4. There is one body. Y'all better don't play with me now. I need to go ahead and read the scripture. Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through how many?
All.
Mm-hmm. And in who?
All.
How many of y'all he's in?
All.
So he's in all of us. Now, I ain't got time to go to Philippians, but his God was working in you. Both to will and to do of his what? Good pleasure. Good pleasure. It's him working in you. Now, I'm going to remind you that it's him working in you.
Yes, sir.
It's not that you just that good. It's just him working in you.
Yes,
thank God. I was talking to him. I said, boy, God really loves us. Mm-hmm. He really loves us to decide to work through us. I mean, I'm sure he could have decided to do it many other ways, but he decided to work through us. Like the privilege. I don't even, everybody say break it down.
Break it down.
I don't even think that, I think that because our mindset's not broken down about a lot of things, that we don't even understand the magnitude of the privilege.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Listen to me, look. Listen to what I'm saying. That it is God who works in you. He didn't say y'all. You. God is specific enough to say I'm working through you. Greater is he that is in
me
than he that's in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That's our favorite. We understand the magnitude of what's going on. See, because our minds have got normal with God. We've gotten complacent with church. Now, we won't say it because it feels disrespectful, don't it? And it's not, we don't feel like it. But I'll prove it to you, you got complacent because ain't nothing supernatural happening in your life. If ain't nothing supernatural going on, you've gotten complacent. If ain't nothing different popping off, you've gotten used to this and you've settled in. Name me one time Jesus didn't have something crazy popping off. Name me one time Jesus didn't have something that was off the wall that was happening through him, because he knew who he was. He never got used to it. He never got used to the status quo. He never got used to the regular way. He didn't compare himself to how society was ranking things. He set his affections on something higher. The focus was something higher.
Yes.
And so life doesn't have to be humdrum. See, it's humdrum right now. If it feels humdrum, it's humdrum right now because you settled in to your mold. You settled in to, a lot of people get saved and they're cool and they'll do little things, you know what I'm saying? They'll come, they're perfect attenders at church, right? And they'll do some things, but they kind of settled into it. And so it's never a next step up. Remember, your next step up has nothing to do with your ranking in spiritual thing, or your ranking in spiritual office. It's not about that. I don't care about that. When we stop caring about that, God will use you. Huh? So when you stop caring about, you get break it down. Everybody say break it down.
Break
come on, everybody say break it down.
Break
come on, say it again. Break it down.
Break
everybody
down.
Won't be somebody. Can I give you a secret about apostle? One of the things about apostle is apostle didn't ask God to be apostle. He didn't say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, make sure you take me to the apostle level. Didn't do it. He didn't ask to be none of that stuff. He didn't ask to be no pastor. He didn't ask to be none of that stuff. You hear him talk about it. All he know is, listen, I had a moment with God, and I had an experience with God, and that was it for me. And I served at whatever capacity that I, you know, your apostle, and it's not, you don't hear the story, apostles go serve communion 3 and 4 times a day to the sick and shut in. Y'all know, some of us don't know that the sick and shut in. You need to go serve communion and go preach a message everyone. Apostles to preach 3 or 4 times on a Sunday at different places. I mean, traveling up north. People don't know these stories sometimes. They see what's going on right now. They don't know the trek. They don't know the commitment and the love. So everybody wants to. I want that. He talked to me today and he said something. When I'm around him, and if you ever get a chance to be around him, just shut up. Y'all got that revelation?
Yes,
yeah. It's quick. Whenever you get a chance to be around, shut up. No, listen. He asked you, how you doing? Good. Shut up. Shut up. Don't say nothing about what you thought you don't know nothing. The Bible says the less is blessed of the better. The oil flows from the top to the bottom.
That's right.
In the military, now we're going to talk about that a little bit in class. So the military know it better than us. When the general walk in, we're going to be like, good morning. No. And whatever he's saying, just take it in. All right? I'm sitting there today, and I do that myself. I do that personally. It's my physical father, but I do that personally. I don't play no games. So I don't play with him. And so he said, start talking to me. If you sit there long enough, he just start talking. And he says, he gave me, and he said, the possibility, and I'm going to say them quick, all right? So he said, everybody wants to jump to the power. I got a good one, though. I got a good one to go with that. Everybody wants a position. Because everybody said break it down. This class, I'm going to attack every thought that's in your mind about what you think about how this go. I'm going to attack. I'm going to say some stuff that's going to make you cringe a little bit, but that's what we got to do. I'm going to say some stuff that's going to shake your religion. Some of you didn't stand on all it. I was wrong about it. Yeah, just tweak it a little bit. I'm going to challenge you. Because it's breaking down. See, everybody, we want these positions and these things. We want power to validate who we are, but you're already validated through Jesus.
That's right.
Are y'all hearing me?
Amen.
You're already validated through Christ.
Amen.
You already validated the fact that you're here and that God decided to use you. He kept you here long enough. All right, listen. Listen, God is validating you right now. All right, you've already been validated through Christ. How many of y'all born again? Amen. You're already validated through Christ. That's your identity. So I don't have to be chasing after no position. I'm chasing after no seat. I'm chasing after no power because greater is he that is in me. Listen, whatever God has called you to do will be done. All you have to do is yield. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, beware the serpent, lest he beguile you like he did Eve. He's subtle. And he said he'll deceive you away from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's a simple thing. You want to know how to walk by faith? Yield. You want to know how to be strong in the anointing? Yield. You want to know how to flow in the Spirit? Flow in the Spirit. Yield. Yield to the water. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes,
see, you're studying and you're praying is to teach you how to yield.
Yes,
You shout it out. You think, no, that's breaking you down so that you can open up the yield. When you're reading the scripture, it's breaking down your mind so that you can yield. It's all a yielding process. And he said, everybody want the power. This is the last one, but he said, the possibility. He said, you got to know the possibilities, the promises, the preparation, the process before you get to the power. You ready? I'm going to say them again. You ready? He said, you got to know the possibilities, the promises, the preparation, the process before you get to the power. Everybody say power. But everybody wants power. We in 2015, we're in a McDonald's generation. You want a burger, you can get a burger. Have it your way. Burger King, right? Have it your way. If you want it that quick, you can get it that quick. You ain't got to wait till it come out the grill. You got a 5-minute warm-up burger. You can get what you want. Some of y'all pick on your phones right now and find out we don't go to the library no more. You don't have to go to the library no more because you got the encyclopedia on your phone. Google. Right? I mean, you just get what you want. I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's funny how the internet and how I was flying home from Chicago yesterday, and it was amazing. I just see all these different people from all the different places. That's just amazing to me how transportation and cars and airplanes and communication and phones and internet has made the world so much smaller. You know what I'm saying? And it's good to an extent, but also it makes us weaker. Because going to Chicago years ago without on horse and buggy, we got to plan this trip out. We got to strike out a month. It's going to take us a week to get there. That's before you get there to do whatever you're going there to do. The difference, I mean, it's just, you're not as resilient. So now, because everything is, I appreciate it, but you got to remember that you got to push through the process. Just because you can go buy apples from the store don't mean you know how to make apples. Hold on. Just because you can get apples don't mean you know how to function and go. So you go to the grocery store and buy you some apples, but you don't know how to plant no seed. Come on, listen to me. Or you go buy a fish and you think you can go buy a fish. Go buy a fish and you don't know the process.
That's good.
You don't know the process of it. And so now you, if power comes without a process, you will abuse it. I took I have a concealed weapon permit. So that means I can go in the store with it if I want to. I can conceal it. But I took a class though. It took me through a class and through a training. They checked my background. And they did all those things. It took me through that, and it made me. I had to do a lot of different things. Like you ain't just, well, let me turn my papers in. Like, okay, here goes your permit. No, and then I had to wait for it to come in the mail. But it's a process, so now I can walk around with a little power. And I'm just using it as a mundane. But I walk around a little power because of the process. They ain't just hand. They just not. They're not on the earthly level. They're not just handing out power. Even the Bible says the children of this world and their generation wiser than the children of light, even they know they're not going to give you a degree till you finish the class. Because that's a power. That's a level of power on their level. That's a you know, you have a certain degree in something, there's a level of clout that comes with that in normal society thinking. So they're not handing those out without you going through the... Now, of course, because society has a money racket and different things going in, and it's gotten clouded, but there's still processes that have to be had. I went to Guatemala year before last, and we went out. And while we were out there, we just kind of looked, and they took us on a tour or whatever. And a lot of people like coffee, and they said they got the best coffee and the cocoa beans and different things of that nature. And these people said, I don't know, people said when they plant, like, for coffee beans, they don't plant them and get them next year. People talking about they waiting 6 or 7 years. Before they harvest. Then you got to harvest the right way. So they don't let the men pick. They don't let the men go pull the harvest. They don't let the men because they're going to tear it up. I'm serious. The women were walking around and they let the women go pull them. Because they said the women know how to handle it better and they'll be more delicate to prepare for the next harvest. But you never think that. Now you go to the store and just get coffee. How many of y'all are coffee drinkers? Amen. So... Folgers in your cup, and you good. You don't understand the process.
Right, right.
You don't understand what's going on. See, sometimes I do that. Sometimes, like, I study. Like, I'll do that. I'll do that. You know, I tell people this, and y'all just bear with me for what I'm about to say. You ain't gotta bear with me. It's the truth. You know, there's a lot of things, in my life personally that I can just kind of lean back and chill out. You know, we got it made, you know, apostle, you know. We got it going on, the ministry set already. You know what I'm saying? And I just lay back and chill. I just float on with the boat. I got to hustle that hard. I just lay back. I really could. Real simple thing. But preach here and there, you know. I ain't got to. You could really sit there and just float. But then the drive, that drive on the inside, you make you push past what you already are. And it makes you stand up even when you could be laying down. Everybody say, go ahead and lay down. No, 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 we got to get up because we got stuff to do. And we got something to go on. See, we don't. We cannot function like we got something already. You ain't got nothing.
Amen.
You can't function. Listen, so there's a good secret. Apostle, right? Apostle got more money than all of us in the room. Put together. All right. But I guarantee he prayed more than you today. I guarantee when he went to the throne to talk to the Lord, and I know we ain't supposed to beg the Lord, right? But if it was a way to go pleading, I bet he was pleading a little harder than you were. That's a special thing. Now that's what's coming on us, amen. That's why we're here. Listen to me. That's what's coming on us. That's the anointing that's coming on us in this school. If we can get it, listen. If we can get it, everybody say get it. Listen, if we can get it, if we can get what's going on, let's not get caught up. Let's get it. Look, there was several. Elijah had several sons. They called him the sons of the prophet. But when it's time for him to go, they was afar off. It's a little small. I got a group of people in the church. We're reading some books. So I said we got to condition our minds. We need to read all the possible books. What's going on? We're reading them, and so we sent in the stuff that we learned out of chapter, right? And so I remember one of the first days we started. Everybody sending everything. It was good stuff or whatever. And I found one little spot in there. The You're Not Broke You Ever Seen. One little spot in there. He said, and everybody saying, you know, we got to follow the Holy Ghost. So, and that's true, amen, right? Now follow the Holy Ghost. So, and then somebody said that you got to change your mindset, right? That's fine. I found one little sentence in there, and he said. He said, I became determined to sow no matter what. It was one line. It wasn't even a highlighted line. It wasn't even bolded.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's that one little line in there that set everything up.
Right.
He said, I set my heart. I changed my heart. I set my heart. Now that's a lot of times, God, dog, a lot of times you'll see apostle, but you don't see him. Not until you miss that small little thing, that's the thing that sets it off. You know, I ain't got time. I don't have to go there. We talked about that thing last class. But you know when that whole happened with Elijah and Elisha, that whole thing happened, Elijah didn't go in that chariot of fire. He went up in a whirlwind. It was quick.
Yes.
That thing was a distraction. But it was only a distraction to distract them other ones from not being able to get something that they didn't go through the process to receive. See, they wasn't there. They wasn't there. They wasn't following him everywhere he go. They wasn't there paying attention. They wasn't there. So God had to set something up because once Elijah said something, it was the word of God. Once Elijah said out of his mouth, if you see me when I go, you get a double portion. That at that moment became the word of God. And we got to understand that with our men of God and our prophets of God. That's the word of God right then. When he said it, that's the word of God. And so God can't go back on his word. So now somebody saw him, they'd have got a double portion. But somebody would have ended up with a double portion that didn't do the due process. Are y'all seeing me?
Yes.
And so because no process, you abuse the power and hurt somebody. Listen, apostle, let me tell you something. This is what we getting. Can we get it? Everybody say get it.
Yeah.
Everybody say I'm going to get it. Listen. Come on, say I'm going to get it.
Listen,
I don't know about no other classes, and God bless all the other classes. But this class,
yes, sir.
Say I'm going to get it. Listen, say we're going to, listen. We're going to get this thing, and we're going to leave out of here as patterned sons and daughters. Listen to me. We're going to leave out of here walking the same way the apostles walking. Listen, all this, these things that we, it's not, I'm not just talking about like man, like material, I'm just talking about all, even the supernatural power, like the anointing, all those things have come from a root that not as though I've already attained. You know, Apostle made 69 in August. Wow. Praise God for that. You got many, many more years. Amen. But you know, 65 is the retiring year. Yeah. Huh? You know, you got grown sons. You got three grown sons. Grown daughter, grown family, grandkids. You know, I can go ahead and retire and float up into the sunset. I can go ahead and turn this over now and go ahead and get on the RV and just go around the country. But yet he preaching 2 or 3 times a week. Sometimes, I saw him, listen to me. I see him teach a class on Monday night on prayer, teach his class on Tuesday night, teach Wednesday night, then go somewhere and preach Thursday night, Friday morning. And this, I'm not talking about 10 years ago. I'm talking about last week. I'm talking about. But we can fade off into the sunset. Got all the increase. Got a ministry flowing. Got a family in there that gonna shoulder some things. Well, I can just go ahead and majority of people that got what he got would be coasting. You tell somebody to kiss my tail. I ain't coming today. Don't call me. You should have got it when I talked to you last week. That's why some things don't come. Because of the process. So now here he is, able to. I mean, 4 years passed. If we use that. Y'all get what I'm saying? If we use that. He out there getting that next message. Getting that next word, seeing what God is saying about tomorrow and about the next day. What you saying, God? And just a constant flow. And so because there's a constant flow, there's a constant flow. Are y'all catching that? Yes. Because there's a constant flow, there's a constant flow. Remember God said, you draw nigh unto me. You keep stepping forward, he keeps stepping forward. The Lord told me the other day, he said, I wonder why we say that, you pay attention. He said, be not deceived, God in the mouth, whatever man, that shall he also. You want God to, you want to get God attention? Yeah. Pay attention. Yeah. You give attention. You give attention. You give your attention to him. Yes, sir. Can you imagine what would happen if God gives all his attention to you? Yeah. Like if he's really paying attention. Yes, sir. Can you imagine the magnitude of what things will be going on through you? Everybody said, break it down. Come on, say it again. Say, break it down. Come on. Come on, say, break it down. Now, we're gonna read this. See, I'll get your head started for next week. All of these things, all of these classes, and everything we're doing in this class, everything, even the scripture, God worketh in you. And then we went to the scripture, you know, the church, you know, the gates of hell is not for the church. Even in Ephesians 4, and I'm getting to understand the simplicity of Christ, that all of these things are driving us to him. Driving us to be like him. It's changing us from the inside to the outside and making us transfigure into him. All right, so I'm going to look for Jesus. Huh? Look, y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Look for him in your study time. Look for Jesus. Find Jesus. You remember Where's Waldo? You remember Where's Waldo? Where you got to look hard. Look, find, where's Jesus?
Yes, sir.
Find him. And you'll find him. You find him, you find the answer. Yeah. You get it? You find him, you find the way.
Yes, sir.
Right, all those things. Church, ain't no church without Jesus.
Yes,
y'all get it?
Yes,
amen. Amen.